Have your Bibles this morning, Colossians chapter number 3. This week, of course, Brother Bruce Morgray went to heaven, and I'd been praying about a message, and heaven just came to my heart. I want to draw your attention. If you'll notice in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "If ye then have risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." It was December 1st. Certain family was leaving to go on vacation from Michigan. Of course, bad weather is always a possibility. They packed up their van and had their children with them. And as they were driving, they hit a bridge and their van swerved and hit the rail and flipped over. And the driver of the van, they're Christians, know the Lord. He jumped out and went up the road because he was afraid somebody would come and hit them. And so he started flagging people down. And finally, he noticed another one come along, started skidding, and another one started skidding. And so they all started stopping and to make sure no one else came along, until someone could come and take care of the bridge or redirect traffic. And his wife yelled out and said, "I can't find Jessica. She's not in the van." He said his heart sank. And he went looking for his daughter, and about 30 yards away, he could see when they hit the bank, she was thrown through the side window. And she was dead. And he said, "I held her in my arms for the last time, and I realized she was not there. But just a few weeks earlier, she had trusted Christ as Savior. She had taken the time to say, 'Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven,' even as a young girl. And she said, 'I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me? I'd like to come to heaven.' But that very day, she had told some friends that she was going to go to God's country. Not realizing the reality of that as a young girl, but she did. And I got to thinking, wow, are we prepared for heaven? And if we begin to think about heaven, now this little girl, her parents are Christians and they knew there was no mistake. Their hearts are broken, of course. Their little 8-year-old girl died and gone to heaven. But they wrote this track, and there have been people saved all over because of the little girl and her story. Now, frankly, the Lord makes no mistakes. This coronavirus is no mistake. It's to cause all of us to take a little step back and to think about some things. One of those things we can think about is heaven. And I'm reminded here, if we're saved, we're supposed to think about heaven. Now, I want to just leave you with three thoughts this morning. When you think about heaven, a great reason to think about heaven is, number one, to receive Christ. A good reason to think about heaven is to receive Him, because you know what the alternative is. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that God has prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for people. It was not made for us. It was made to punish the old devil and his demons. And so God has no place else for sinners to go. And that's the reason why he got burdened for us at the very beginning, Adam and Eve. And he said, "Look, I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want them to be with me." And so you've got to understand that when you begin to think about heaven, you begin to think about the glories of heaven. It's a real place. It is a real place with a real gates and real doors in it. You'll notice in Revelation 21, it says it's got 12 different gates, three on each side of it. Now, you and I have no idea of the immense space that heaven is. 1.74 million square miles, acres, acres and acres and acres. If we were to bring heaven down, according to Revelation 21, it would stretch from the east coast all the way into the middle of the country. One city. Wow. But but heaven is not just an immense space, the Bible says, in square footage, but it's cubed. It goes up the same distance. I have no idea how God did that. But you and I, his thoughts are above our thoughts. And so I began to think about that. Boy, I don't want to miss heaven. And so if Bruce McGray could come back today, and I'll be doing his funeral on Saturday, Lord willing, and yet whenever, if he could come back, he would say, oh, whatever you do, don't miss heaven. Wow. It is beyond my wildest dreams. Bruce would be the kind of person that would, he was a little bit calmer, a little bit quieter, but boy, I tell you what, if he could come back today, he wouldn't be today. He would look at every one of us and say, are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for heaven? You got to see it. You'll notice that the first thing, the first reason that would come to your mind that you'd want to go to heaven, the first thing that you want to do in this life is that you'd want to receive Christ as Savior. You know, the Bible says that Revelation 20, if you have your Bible, turn me if you would. Revelation 20. And I want you to notice this verse, last book of the Bible, two chapters from the back. Revelation 20. Look, if you would, in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. You want to know why? Because no one at the great white throne judgment is saved. And so you'll notice in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not what God wanted. But do you understand today that God will not force heaven upon you? He will not force goodness upon you and I. It has to be received. You and I have to take a point in time where we can trust Christ as Savior. I remember I was just thanking the Lord this morning for 53 years ago whenever I took a little bit of time, and I remember coming to church. It was not like this. The place had people in it. And I remember coming into church and being a good day, and we had relatives and friends with us, and the sermon was preached, and as it was, my heart began to get convicted. And I knew I wasn't ready for heaven. Then whenever the invitation came, I was under great conviction. And I began to think, you know, I'll just put it off another week and put it off another week. And then I got to thinking about it, but I could miss heaven. And so I stepped out of the aisle. Hardest thing I ever did in my life, to step out of that aisle. Because everybody knew me in church. And my relatives were sitting down the row. Why did they have to come on that Sunday morning? Why did my relatives have to come? It just made it harder. And I began to think about it. And I said, it'd been a lot easier if they hadn't even come. It'd have been a lot easier if it had been a pandemic then. I could have gotten saved like this real easy. I could have just walked down the aisle, been real simple. You know, I tried to get saved at home and just couldn't. It's because I wanted to get saved quietly my way. And the Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You come to Christ when there's a conviction in your heart, when there's something in your heart that happens, that the Holy Spirit says, you're not ready for heaven. Oh, you and I may not realize that. But God loves you today. And he knows if you're ready for heaven, because he's got the book in heaven with everybody's name in it, called the Book of Life. And if your name's not in that book, you're not going to heaven. And so he's out seeking you. The Bible says he's seeking you to bring you to Christ. So he's going to bring things into your life. And I know this pandemic is to cause some people to turn to look toward heaven and say, I'm not ready, Lord. Would you help me to get ready? Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, there are people that get saved all kinds of different ways. We've had people come by the church and trust Christ as Savior. You had it this week, trust Christ as Savior. What a wonderful thing. We've had missionaries that have gotten that have seen people saved. What a great joy. They've already written to us. Missionaries that we've got a chance to witness to people that wouldn't have really had an opportunity to trust Christ as Savior were it not for the pandemic. You know, just the Lord stirred their hearts. Wow, what a great blessing. So I noticed the first thing about heaven, the heaven is a great reason, number one, to receive Christ as Savior. Don't miss heaven. Whatever you do, don't miss heaven. Now remember, the Bible says that if we miss heaven, that whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. I want to take just a minute. Luke 16. The Bible says there was a rich man and a poor man. Now, money's got nothing to do with whether you get to heaven or not. But if you're not careful, money will steal your heart. And you begin to live your life and build your life around money. 401ks and new cars and new houses and a good job and all these different things. The things that are American dream. And it takes our attention away from heaven. And are we going there? Are we ready for heaven? It takes our attention away. And I want to bring your attention back to heaven this morning, because the alternative is something that is horrendous. It is beyond your wildest dream. It's like heaven is beyond our wildest dreams, so is hell. The Bible says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, the rich man, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham afar off, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Somehow God's play made a horrible place, with all the pain and suffering of fire. But it doesn't end. What a horrible thought. Remember, it's no one does God want to go there. And I'm going to tell you, you got to understand, the proof of that is that he took the greatest treasure of heaven, his own son, allowed him to be murdered on the cross to shed his blood for you and I. You see, currency in heaven is not gold and silver. Oh, he paves the streets with gold. It's not precious stones. The foundation of the walls around the city, 1,320 miles that way and 1,320 miles that way, and there's a wall all the way around it that's 216 feet high that's filled with all precious stones. It doesn't matter to him. You know what does? Blood. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It took perfect blood. It's the reason why I couldn't die for you. Why Scott can't die for you. Why Derek can't die for anybody in this room. We can't die for ourselves. Our blood is tainted. We have the taint of sin in our life. And that's the reason Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Mary was a virgin. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And Jesus was perfect in his birth. And now you and I, Bible says, for God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So he shed his blood, and now his blood is available. It's like the money's in the bank. All you got to do is go to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm guilty. I'm sorry for my sin. You see, I remember being in Papua New Guinea. We go on mission trips, you know that, around the world. And I remember being in Papua New Guinea, and I mean in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Anybody here on that trip? Anybody here on that trip at all? Anybody on that trip? There's nine of us here and a couple in the lobby. But I remember flying into that dirt grass runway on the side of that mountain, and the winds are raging and the storm is blowing. There's a storm going on, and we landed, and your stomach was finally settling. We walked 5 miles. We were in the middle of no place, 8-day walk from civilization. And we walked up to this little area where the land had been cleared, and there was a church house. And I began to think, how would anybody ever find this place to build a church? But there was a missionary that God burdened his heart, and he built a church there. And on that Sunday morning, we got there, and I figured, well, and now the church is probably about as big as that wing over there. Maybe not quite that big. And I figured, well, I don't know how many will be coming to church this morning. So all the men, you know, we kind of sat down inside it, waiting. And pretty soon, they started coming from this trees, and those trees, and those trees. I mean, they just walked through the bush out into the ground. Nice ground. And they had their Sunday best on, T-shirt, crummy jeans, no shoes, their Sunday best, coming for Jesus. And they came in, and they sat down, and there was this elderly gentleman there, and he had a cane in his hand, and he put the stick down on the floor, and the children run up there and sit down. And the next one, they run up there and sit down. And pretty soon it got to where The whole building was packed. We had to get all of our men outside. We got chairs and sat outside and looked inside. And I mean, I said, where did they all come from? You know, I was reminded, God cares for every one of them. But if it would have cost a dollar, not a one of them could have gotten saved. Because they didn't have a dollar. But I reminded myself, Jesus Christ has already paid for it. The Bible says that it's a free gift. For by wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ died on that cross to provide a gift for everybody in this world, everyone that's listening on live stream, everybody that's here, that you and I could have eternal life. Now all we have to do is receive it. But he will not force it upon you. I remember Susan lost her, had her wedding ring stolen. And I'd just gotten a cheap ring and given it to her. And I said, one of these days I'll get you a nice one. And I said, well, save up and get you a nice one. It took me 25 years. She was very patient. And then when I got that the nice ring, I said, I got a surprise for you. And she said, oh? Now, there are some women that are very concerned about finances. And, you know, if their husband were to get them something nice, they said, well, you know, where'd you get the money? Is it okay? My wife never asked that question. She would have taken any gift and been thrilled with it. When I showed her that ring, she put that ring on her finger. She was just, oh, my goodness, it's beautiful. Hugs and kisses, it was worth it just for that. It was wonderful. And then I began to think, as to see the joy in her heart, what is it going to be like when you step foot inside heaven and see the robe of righteousness that he has for us laid there, the crowns that he's got for those that have lived right, and all of a sudden you step foot inside heaven with the gates of pearl and you begin to say, oh my, I would have missed all this had I not received Christ as my Savior a moment in time. It's not a process. If it would be, the thief on the cross could have never been saved. He's hanging on the cross. He's dying. He looks at the Lord Jesus and basically asks for salvation. The Lord said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Aren't you glad it didn't take another class? He said, well, I'd love to have you in heaven, but you've got to take another class. You're a little short. It's a free gift, and it's the gift of eternal life. It's already paid for by Jesus Christ. It's the greatest story ever told. And yet we in society have gotten to the point where all of our churches, most of our churches have got to, you got to do something to get to heaven. Oh, you got to get baptized. Now, I got baptized, but it's because I was saved. It's not to be saved. Or you got to give money. Now, let me tell you something. You can raise a lot of money if you say, if you'll give money, you can get to heaven. There are people that did that. Church at Rome was built that way. Called indulgences. But I want you to understand something. Jesus said, everybody I love, for God so loved the world. I want you in heaven with me. I want you with me. Every black, white, red, green, orange person on the face of the earth, God says, I want you in heaven with me. Short, tall, rich, poor, I want you in heaven with me. I'll pay for it. You just receive it. So the rich man says, well, I want to contribute something toward it. God says, it's already paid for it. He says, I don't take gifts. And the rich man died and went to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. But you know what he did? He said, would you send Lazarus back? Go tell my brothers. I don't want him to come to this awful place. You see, if you miss heaven, you've missed everything. So the number one reason, when you think about heaven, the number one reason that should hit your heart is, I've got to receive Christ as Savior so I can go there. But number two, I want you to notice, the number two reason when you think about heaven, the thing ought to hit you is, notice if you would in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 3, notice if you would. If you would. Colossians 3:1, if you've been risen with Christ, there's salvation. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you'll notice if you would in verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life? You see, You and I want to renovate our lives when we see Christ. We receive Him as Savior, but thinking about heaven ought to cause us to want to say, I want to renovate my life. I want my life to be like Christ. I want it to be something that counts for something. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, and have put on the new man which is renewed or renovated in knowledge after the image that created him. So you want a renewed life. You want a renovated life. You want to make your life like Christ wants it to be. Look, if somebody gave you a gift of $100 million, would you want to please them? Well, that ought to be a little bit of reciprocation. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, I want my life to count for something. And notice, if you would, in verse number 4, when Christ, here's the number one thing we do, make him our life. Who is our life? Number one, you put him first in your life. You make him the reason for everything that you do. You make him the reason that you're a pleasant person. You make him the reason you work hard at work. You make him the reason, because he said, who is our life? So many people that I know that during this pandemic, they struggle with business people. They struggle because they're losing money, and I don't know if I'm going to have a business or not. And you know what? They just need Jesus Christ, who is their life, and all the rest of it becomes okay. He'll take care of it. Who is our life? But you notice in verse 1, he says, if you be risen with Christ, then you've got to next make him your life. Now, when you do that, notice, if you would, in verse 5, as a result of making him your life, as a result of saying, Lord, I want my whole life to be built around you. And folks, that's what we do. As a Christian, you build your life around Jesus Christ. You build your language around Jesus Christ. You build your thoughts around Jesus Christ. Because one of these days, he's taking you to heaven. When you see him, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, you don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be embarrassed that you took his gift of salvation. Now, you can do this. You can receive the gift of salvation and maybe not live as good a life as you ought to live, and you're still going to heaven because you got the gift of eternal life. But when you step foot inside heaven and see Jesus Christ, by the way, who has scars on his forehead, his hands, his feet, for you, for me, that ought to want us to say, Lord, I do want to do what's right. Lord, I do want to change my life. I want to change some things in my life to be pleasing to you. Well, notice what he says. In verse 4, he said, who is our life? In verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth. Mortify, put to death. Okay, stop. Fornication, uncleanness. Get rid of the uncleanness in your life. Notice, if you would, the next thing, down in verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice. Look, I'm going to get rid of all the bitterness in my life. I'm going to forgive people. How many of you have ever had somebody do something bad to you? Raise your hand. Let me see it. You've had somebody do something to you that wasn't right. Let's see your hand. Okay? He says right here, look, if you think about heaven, you say, look, heaven's too wonderful for me to take that with me. I'm going to get rid of that malice. I'm going to get rid of that bitterness. I'm going to put that aside. So renovate your life. Renovate it in the eyes of Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh, my goodness. He said, look, I want you to get rid of all the filthy communication. What would that be? Well, it would be cursing. I'm going to get rid of cursing. I'm just not going to do that anymore. That doesn't represent heaven. That didn't represent Christ. I'm going to get rid of dirty jokes. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you this. One of these days, this book is true. And one of these days, when we step foot inside heaven, like Bruce McGray just did, I can promise you this. He would tell everybody in this room, oh, watch your language when you come to heaven. It's perfect. It's a perfect place. Oh, prepare for heaven. Just change your life now. So when you step foot inside heaven, you're ready. It's a reason to renovate your life, because you're going to be in heaven for all eternity. So I notice another thing. Look down, it says, filthy communication. What's another part of that? Well, no, look at verse 9. Lie not one to another. Lying. He said, get rid of lying. You know, one of the things that Christians ought to be is truthful. The people of God should be truthful. We ought to say what we mean and mean what we say and back it up with our word. You know, if I incur a debt, if I go buy a vehicle and take it out on payments, or buy a home and take it out on payments, or maybe I go down and use my credit card like I did yesterday, go down to Walmart and get some food and then swipe that card, I promise to pay that card. My name is on the line. So I'm not going to lie and say, well, look, I'll just do what I want to do, and I'll pay it when I get a chance to. No, lie not one to another. Don't lie. Don't somebody say, I'll pay you, but then don't. And don't tell somebody you'll do something and then not show up and not do it. He said, lie not one to another. Reform your life. Renovate your life. Notice what he says in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in what? Knowledge after the image of him that created him. What's the image of Christ? Perfection. What's the image of Christ? Holy. What's the image of Christ? Sweet spirit. Now notice, if you would, in verse 12. He said, so put on therefore, because you're trying to renew your life, you're trying to get ready for heaven, you're trying to be excited about heaven. As a matter of fact, I think Jesus Christ wants us to bring heaven here. He wants you to be a picture of heavenly language, heavenly thinking, heavenly walk, a heavenly attitude. What is that? Look in verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Mercy. I want you to put on mercy. You know what that means? Don't demand everybody pay up for anything they do to you. Be merciful. Notice the next one. Kindness. Just be kind to people. Just be good to people. You know, that's a change from our nature. We want people. How many of you have ever had this? Notice very carefully. How many ever been driving your car and somebody cuts you off or races by you, or they get up on your tail and they begin to get right behind you, and then they honk their horn and they're just not driving right. And in your mind, then they race off. You see them, they've got these new pipes now on some of these cars, like the little Hondas, they got little Hondas or little Toyotas, and they got these pipes. Sound like it's a race car, and it's really a four-cylinder engine, And, they put those things in gear, and they take off. And in your heart and your mind, if you're not careful, you can say, I wish there were a police officer around here. Put on kindness. Pray that that guy maybe gets under conviction and begins to drive a little better so he doesn't kill somebody by accident. He would never try to kill somebody on purpose. But you lose control of your car, you don't drive right, cause somebody else to cause an accident. Kindness. Notice what he says, humbleness of mind. Now these are renovating your life. You've got to change your thinking to where you realize you're not somebody special. And Jesus Christ has made you someone special, but you're not of your own accord. Maybe you're here today and say, well, I'm smart, Pastor. Okay, where did you get that brain? Gift of God. Well, Pastor, I'm strong. I just read this week or looked online where Thorson, the world's strongest man, deadlifted 1,104 pounds. Picked it up. Wow. I would remind you that we want to be strong, but we don't want people to look at us. We want them to see Jesus Christ. We want to have a humbleness of mind. Let our strength be in the fact that we're always going to do what's right. We're always going to have this gentle spirit, this kind spirit. Notice, if you would, the next one, he says meekness. And another one, long suffering. We're going to be patient with people. We're not going to be demanding. And then notice, forbearing one another. We're going to tolerate people doing us wrong. And lastly, forgiving one another. Look, you got to renovate your life. Forgiveness is not a part of our constitution as a human. The old nature doesn't like to forgive. It likes to hold it back. It likes to hold a grudge. It likes to get payment, just payment. But the Lord says, I want you to be forgiving. Now, do you understand? You and I want to practice forgiving now so we take nothing to heaven with us. Because do you understand you're never going to have to use forgiveness in heaven? There's nothing to forgive. You're never going to have to take confession to heaven with you. There's nothing to confess. Do you realize everything has changed? So let you and I try to live here as it's going to be in heaven. So when people are around us, they say, wow, that guy, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that lady. It's heavenly, I guess. That's what Jesus Christ wants us to renovate our minds and our hearts and our lives, because we're getting ready for heaven. I'm getting ready for heaven. I want to be ready. Renovate your life. Notice if you would. And lastly, I want you to see, heaven is a great reason to receive Christ as Savior. Heaven is a great reason to renovate your life, to renew it in the image of Christ. And heaven is a great reason to rejoice. Now, I want to take just a minute. We get to reside in heaven with the Lord Jesus. We get to be with Him for all eternity. Do you realize it's His home? Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, is bringing us to His home to live with Him. Can you imagine being in the streets of New York, and I've seen people living in a box, living on the street in New York. Can you imagine some very wealthy man pulling over his Rolls Royce and walking over and tapping on that box and say, hey, sir, could I get you to come home with me? I got some clothes for you. I got plenty of food. I got a room for you. Matter of fact, I've got a home I just built in the back of my property. I'd like for it to be yours. Would you come home with me? And you see that guy say, no, I like it here. That's actually what we do when we refuse Christ. And then we say, well, you don't even know me. I know, but I care for people in the street. Would you come with me? Oh, sure. And they leave, well, but let me get my stuff. Oh, I got new stuff for you. But my bag? No, you don't need your bag. But my coat? You don't need your coat. Just come get with me. I want you with me. But why? I don't understand. Because I love you. But why? Can I tell you something? I'm 60 plus years old and I can't explain that. Why does God love Tommy? I don't know. Why does God love me? I don't know. But I know He does. For God so loved the world that He gave. So that old beggar gets up and gets in that nice Rolls Royce and sits down and smells up the place. We're not going to do that. He's cleaning us up the moment we die. We get a new robe. We walk step foot inside heaven. And Jesus Christ meets us at the gate and says, hey, Dave Pittman's here. Everybody rejoice. That's the reason He said every time a sinner trusts Christ as Savior, the angels in heaven rejoice. You ought to read that in the book of John, chapter 14, chapter 16. The angels of heaven rejoice every time someone gets saved. So do you understand the importance of every sinner in this world to Jesus Christ? He's going up down the streets of New York trying to get every one of them to get in his car, if that could say it that way. Well, it's a reason to rejoice. Oh, you know the Garden of Eden? Everybody thinks of the Garden of Eden as the perfect place. That garden, if you look at the description in Scripture in Genesis chapter 2, was no bigger than probably 200 by 150 square miles. I mean, 250 miles by 150 miles, about 30,000 square miles. That's about the size of that garden, the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm certain it was the most spectacular place on the face of the earth. And God made it, and in the middle of it, He put one tree and said, Adam, don't eat of that tree. 30,000 square miles, and I got that one tree that I got to eat of. That's our flesh. I just want to do the one thing God said not to do. And God said, but I love you anyway. And I went ahead and made a workaround. I redeemed you. now I want you to be in heaven with me. And he says, look, I've prepared a place for you. I want you to be with me in heaven. If you have your Bible, I want you to see this verse. Turn to John chapter 14. I just want you to see this verse. I just want you to take a couple of notes out of this one verse. John chapter 14. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. John 14. I want you to notice the fourth book of the New Testament. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, look, you put your faith, you know, in the Lord. He said, you put your faith and trust in me. Look in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's home, in my Father's heaven are many homes. You know what? He's already built for you and I a home for us. I don't understand why he would do that. But I cannot wait to see what it must be like. I'm going to rejoice when I step foot inside heaven. He says, Dave, let me take you. I want to show you your new home. You're with me. Notice, if you would, in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare another mansion, one for you. He's been doing that for almost 2,000 years. And can you imagine what heaven must be like today? With streets of gold and gates of pearl, 12 of them. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Revelation 21. I want you to see this verse, Revelation 21. We get to reside with him. Notice, if you would, Revelation 21. I want you to notice verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was of one pearl. You heard of the pearly gates? There they are. And the street of the city was pure gold, as transparent glass. So God has made gold that's clear. It's perfect. And now I want you to understand this. He said, I've made a gate with of one pearl. You know what pearl is? It's a symbol of suffering. So you don't get into heaven without going through the suffering of Christ. And so when we step foot inside heaven and see the glories of heaven, oh, there's reason to rejoice, because it's the home of God, and you're home and I'm home. And you know another thing about heaven? I like this part. When Susan lost her leg and couldn't get around in the house, I said, you know, I'm going to build another house, because I thought that was the last house I was going to have to build. And I loved it. I loved the location. I loved the trees. I said, well, honey, I'm going to come build another house. So we started building another house. And building a house is a lot of labor. It's a lot of work. Do you realize there will be no new construction in heaven? Total rest. Whenever you move into a house, if moving into a new house, you've got blinds to put up. Done. You got to go through and you clean it all out first. You got to make sure the cabinets are clean. Oh, I don't even know if it's got cabinets. I don't know what we need them for. But I'm just telling you, hey, there's nothing to do when you step foot inside heaven. It's just rest. You can relax. Wow. Cannot imagine that. But not only that, there's recreation. Oh, yeah, you're going to get to reside with Jesus Christ for all eternity. We're going to be able to be with him. It's his home. Can you imagine living in the home of the wealthiest person on the face of the earth? If he wanted to be good to you, can you imagine what it'd be like? Well, that's heaven. We're residing with the God of heaven that put the stars in their place. Can you imagine what he would do for you? Because you are called the Son of God, the daughter of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You're born into his family, adopted into his family. And so now, hey, son, come over here. I got a place for you. Can you imagine what a son of God would dwell in? A daughter of God? And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when Bruce went to heaven, that's just what he promised. I'll come to get you. I'm either going to come to get you in death, or I'm going to come to get you in life by the rapture, one way or the other, but I'm coming to get you. I want you with me. It's not a day of great sadness. Oh, it is for us. Don't get me wrong. When Susan went to heaven, it was a great day of sadness in my heart, but also great joy. And when Bruce went to heaven, it's a day of sadness, because it's a different life. It's a new normal. But for Bruce, wow. He's rejoicing today. Completely well. A perfect body. Wow. So we get a chance to reside with the King of Kings. We get a chance to rest when we're there. Nothing to build, nothing to do. Get a chance to just truly relax and rest. But then there's recreation. You say, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. We're not going to play Uno. I don't know that. We're not going to be playing football. Because he says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So I know this, as much as I love football, there's something in heaven that's far better. And we're going to be able to do it forever. Wow, can you imagine? It's just beyond our minds. You see, his thoughts are above our thoughts. So it ought to cause you and I to rejoice. I don't know what all he's got, but I can't wait to see it. Because if he could make all of this, if you ever gone out in a night, two or three weeks ago, went out when it was a blood moon. Only happens in April. Full moon. I mean, the stars were out. There were no clouds in the sky. It was spectacular. And there's something about that April moon where the sun is a certain way, and it's just the brightest of all year long. And I was sitting there, I was saying, wow. You know, you could see the craters on the moon, and then you could see the stars. Oh, it was so, and the gentle breeze. It was like, what must heaven be like? It's a place to rejoice. It's a place to have recreation. Oh, we're gonna really enjoy ourselves. I mean, I cannot tell you what we're going to be doing, but I can tell you this. It's something you and I would say. Have you ever learned a new game and you just fell in love with it? Have you ever, I'll never forget here, you know, I grew up in Texas and I came here and somebody said, you got to go to Great Falls. I said, what's Great Falls? Just go down there and go to Great Falls. How many of you have been to Great Falls? You've been to Great Falls? Okay. And so I said, okay. So I go down there's trees. I said, wow, these trees are pretty. They don't have those in Texas. Wow, those trees are real pretty. We drove down that long road and went up and paid my $38. I don't know what it is now, but $5. You go into the park and we go in and then they said, okay, go down this way. I asked the park officer, I said, hey, where's the falls? I said, oh, you go down that way to the left. So Susan and I went down there, and we walked in, and all of a sudden, you could hear this roar. So what is that? They don't have stuff like that in Dallas. I don't hear that. Unless it's a flood coming to take your house away, and then it's time to run. And so I was listening, and I what is that? And I walked around, these clump of trees, and there was this huge deck sort of built out. And I said, whoa, what is that? And I went and stood on the edge of that deck, and there's this river coming down, all those rocks. And it was making such a noise. And there were people down there kayaking among the river, the rocks of the river. I said, those people are crazy. What are they thinking? And I see this water coming down through there. It was beautiful. Can you imagine waterfalls in heaven with no bottom? Can you imagine the bluest skies, new colors? I don't know what all God has got planned, but he says, you haven't thought about it yet. He said, I've got it prepared for you. Now, I'm reminded that he's been preparing this place for 2,000 years. But I also want you to remember something. Those of you that give to Faith Promise, I give to Faith Promise too. Faith Promise is a fund in our church that we give money to send missionaries around the world to tell people that would not hear otherwise. Can you imagine? I remember one time going with Jeremy to a back road. He got Susan and I in the car and the truck, and we strapped up and we went around and probably 30 minutes, 40 minutes, mud flying, and pulled into this little village, a two or three hut village. And there was this lady standing out in front of us. I still have a picture. Her name is Florence. And she had trusted Christ to save. Every time I think of Faith Promise, I think Florence. You can't find her house. You can't GPS it. There's no address. It's just a hut in the middle of nowhere. But God says, I love Florence. And I want somebody to go tell her that I love her. And so you know what? Remember, every time you give the faith promise, you're sending people around the world to tell the Florences of this world that there's a God in heaven that's prepared a place for her so that she can live with him for all eternity. Today, I just want you to remember, this is not the end all be all. It's not a time to worry here. That's what he said, let not your heart be troubled. This is not it. This is a temporary place. This is a testing ground. Heaven's around the corner. I've got it prepared for you. Will you renovate your life? Will you receive me as Savior so I can change your life and make it into my image so that you can be a little Christ on this earth? Look, we're not having to do that to get to heaven. We're doing that because we're going to heaven. We want to represent heaven well. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I want to remember to always give faith promise to do my best because I know the Josh Meads of this world are there winning people to Christ in a hard place. That's the only place I ever got whipped. But I was in Senegal. A guy was driving by and he saw I was a Christian and took a whip and whipped me across the hand. That's the only place that ever happened. I said, wow. And he lives there. We were in Papua New Guinea. And I just remember rejoicing of people that had gotten saved. And you know, the first thing after you get saved, you get baptized, just to let the world know that you've trusted Christ. And so there were these four or five converts are going to get baptized. It had been raining. I told you, the river's rushing down. And they're going to go down the river and baptize. I said, they're going to lose four people because that river is just raging. And the joy overwhelmed the fear. And there was a little eddy there, you know, circling backwater. And I have no idea how they knew there was a bottom there. But the pastor slips down the muddy slope and his feet land on that thing. And it must have been just a little section there. And I'm thinking, if he goes 2 feet out, he's lost. That water is raging. I mean, logs coming down. I mean, it's just a torrent. And I was shocked whenever he got down there and looked back up and said, okay, who's first? Somebody, me. I said, I want to be last. That's me. I want to be last. I want to know where my life vest is. I mean, I got to know. And where's the rope? Me. Boy, they come in there, slide, and slid right down. Right like that. Oh, me. I'm reminded there are people all over the world that are rejoicing because this world is not their home. They're looking to heaven. And missionaries have told them about this wonderful place because God said, I've told you about this wonderful place. Now, question is, will you remember to tell others about this place? Today, as far as I know, all of us in this room have received Christ as Savior. We have a responsibility. Yes, that's the last word I want you to remember. Oh, we've got, we can reside with Christ. We can rest in heaven. We've got recreation going on. We got to remember that the people around the world that are lost, but you and I have got to understand we've got to reach the world. We've got to understand there are worlds of people that have never heard the gospel. And we've got to, because there is a heaven, and we can rejoice ourselves, but we can rejoice that everybody can go. And that's one of the great joys about heaven. It just excludes no one unless you decide not to receive it. Today, I'm going to ask you this question. Is there somebody that you're supposed to reach? It's your responsibility to tell about heaven. And you haven't done it yet. One of my saddest days in my life, I was in high school, 17 years old. Had a friend in high school. He was not saved, I knew it. And we didn't do anything together outside of high school, but in school, we were friends. And I decided I was going to tell him about Christ. I was in church, got into conviction. It's my responsibility. I need to reach him. I want him to go to heaven with me. But I kept putting it off. I was scared. I was afraid. I went to school on Monday morning after getting under conviction. I said, okay, Lord, I'll reach him. I'll tell him. It's my responsibility. I'll tell him. He wasn't there. He wasn't there the next day. I went up to the teacher. I said, do you know where Billy is? The teacher's face dropped. She looked at me and she said, my 11th grade English teacher says, you haven't heard. I said, heard what? She says, Billy was killed 3 days ago. He's walking home from school. Some high school kids not paying attention hit him in the back with their car and killed him. His funeral's tomorrow. I went, oh. You know what I thought? I failed in my responsibility to tell him about heaven. Today, let's have no more Billies. Sitting at the funeral, as far as I know, it's the only funeral my dad ever went with me. But for whatever reason, my dad went with me to that funeral. We sat there. My heart was grieved. Today, let's receive Christ as Savior. If you're listening, receive Christ. Make sure. Remember, the alternative is a place called hell. But God didn't make that for you. He made that for the old devil. But that's the only place you can go because heaven's perfect and we're not perfect. Receive him as Savior. Renovate your life. Renew your life in Christ. Make it something heaven is proud to have. And then rejoice. Today, would you rejoice in Christ? Remember resting in heaven, recreation in heaven. We can reside with Christ in heaven. And remember, we have a responsibility to let people know about heaven. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of Invitation Hymn. Could I ask you to look into your own heart? Are you excited about heaven? Have you received him as Savior? If not, could I ask you to just right where you are, kneel down right beside your seat. If you're in a chair, kneel down beside your chair and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. You only have to do this once. It's called being born into God's family. But once you've trusted Christ as Savior, you have a home in heaven. You're given the gift of eternal life. But I know there are lots of people that have never received Christ, even church members. We just sort of assume. Check out your soul. Make sure you're ready for heaven. When I think of Bruce McGray, I remember him saying to me when I went to him, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Maybe you haven't lived right. You're ready to go, but you don't want to go just yet because you've got some things to change. Renovate your life. Take the Word of God and begin to use it as a guide. Let's learn to rejoice. It puts us in a spirit that the world can't understand. Why are you so happy in this pandemic? Because heaven's my home, and I'm going soon. In the meantime, I'd like to take you with me. We have a responsibility. We're going to have a word of prayer. As we pray, I'd urge you, when the pianist starts to play, make the decision God wants you to make. Either where you are, you can come forward in our church, down at the front if you want. But wherever the Lord burdens your heart, do what he wants you to do. Father, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.